This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Yeah, microphones work. What is going on, y'all? Hey, another beautiful day in the neighborhood here, which is a good thing here on Reinvention Radio. We got a full house today, which is a great thing. Wade's here. What's up, Wade? I love when Wade hangs out with us. Wade, you're feeling better, right? Wade's feeling better? Yeah, good. That's a good thing. We love Wade, and Wade's feeling better, which is a great thing. Mary Boulay is here with her rounded eyebrows, which is a great thing. Oh, see, now we get you back. I wasn't sure if your mic was on or not, but now
my mic is on.
Your mic is straight, and Rich is over there, too, which is a good thing.
All right.
Yeah, do tell. What? You got something already, don't you?
Well, no, I was pulling up Joel Comm's website, because
Joel Comm is our guest today, which is going to be a rocking good time.
And I'm like, I have that book.
You have that book. I know.
Twitter Power 3.0.
I know, and the funny thing is Rich Ote is in the house as well, man. You got Rich's mic on? Because, yeah, Rich is on. Yeah. He's on. Yeah, and Rich, play what you brought here real quick.
Hey, Joel.
I thought you said play with your bra.
Yeah, hit it, right? Yeah, play with that.
Hey, Joel, I brought something in just for you.
Yeah, Joel brought in the... Here
and
we go, hit
on
it.
On Periscope.
Come on, Rich, just
right
for
now.
Joel.
Yeah, no, this is a cliffhanger.
Yeah, cha-ching, exactly. So you got the cha-ching button, which is awesome. So Lord knows we're going to be playing with that like throughout the whole episode. And by the time we get pretty much towards the end of the hour... I think Mary's going to kill us.
Yeah.
I think Mary's just going to start smacking us around. All right, very cool. So, yes, we do have Joel Comm on today, which is going to be, I've known Joel now for a little while. And I got to tell you, he's a good guy.
That tells us nothing.
Well, you know what? If someone is still friends with me after knowing me for a little while, that should tell you something right there. So Joel and I are still friends. So you can make your own judgment call on that one. So we're going to have a rocking good time here. And Richard's going to get his Periscope thing working going as well. So what's up, Periscope, all the Periscopers in the world. And I am sure that Joel is probably doing his Facebook live stream as well, which is a new thingy.
What's that?
Well, Joel will tell us all about that. So that'll be really interesting. But, I got to tell you, I can't open this show without sort of readdressing, you know, what we did last week, which was pretty damn fun and pretty exciting as far as I'm concerned. Because Rich, I don't know how you missed this one, man, but we reinvented pornography last week.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, yeah, and you know bailed on us.
Stay in the past.
No, I don't want it to stay in the past. You know what? I got to tell you, Dave Pounder. Great porn name. Yeah, I came up with mine, by the way. You know what it is?
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know. All right, fine. And if you've got a porn name, give us a call at 866-977-2346 and hit number one on that as well. So Rich Ote is in the house. And by the way, my wife just recently told me that she's in the funeral industry, right? So there's always newspapers and interesting things going around in that industry. One of the embalmers, who's pretty well known in the industry, his name is Richard Tips. And he goes by Dick. Yeah, exactly.
You know, he does
totally and completely. And you know what? It's so funny. When I was growing up, true story. You can't even make this shit up. I mean, it's like 100% true. All right. So when I was growing up, I had a friend, and his name was Stephen Dickey. Okay. You know, that in itself is pretty funny. Yeah, Rich is laughing. He's got a little chuckle going. All right. So his name was Stephen Dickey. Guess what his father's name was? Just guess.
Dick Dickey.
Dick Dickey. That would be good. Yeah. Right. No. Harry.
Not even fair.
It's not. Oh, man.
It's like a form of childhood.
So, I know, right? So I think his parents hated him. And evidently he still survived because he had children. One of his kids' name was Steven. So there we go. Yeah. So that would not be my porn name, by the way, because I think, I think that one's already taken. But just kind of following suit on that, did you know, and Mary, this is I think this is particularly apropos for you. Did you know what the FDA just approved?
Okay.
Among other things, do you know what the FDA just approved?
I have to say no.
Okay. Rich knows. Rich knows. Because you actually take this. So you know exactly what this is. Yeah? You know.
No,
you don't know.
I only know because
Yeah, because you're cheating because you can actually look at my screen. So basically, they just approved the female Viagra.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah. Oh, you already have that. And it's,
no,
stupid.
It's stupid.
Why is it stupid?
Why would I need that?
Well, that's
stupid.
Another story. We don't have to get into details on that, but I'm sure that there are plenty of women who do need that, right?
This is like the highlight of your day.
This is the highlight of my day. It's just the FDA approved the female Viagra. Exactly, right? I mean, let's be honest here. You get older, things don't start working the way that they used to. I say that if a pill will help, I say you pop it. That's my thing, which is why, actually, before this show, I took 4 Viagras myself, you know, because I really wanted to be up for this show today, because, exactly,
Richard.
Ring. I wanted to be up.
Just hit him with that thing. Hit him on the head.
Yeah. So,
that's my phone.
Hey, the blood is flowing. I am ready to go. It's awesome. Joel is going to be on the house today. But basically,
but you didn't scare him off.
No, Joel's not going anywhere. Are you kidding? Joel created the iFart, which is like, you know, which
okay,
is great.
So
we'll have to get
I
the story
have a theory
on that.
That
yes,
whenever
please.
Two or more men are gathered, they turn into 14-year-olds.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
All right. Hence the little cash
the green
button.
Exactly.
And then
you hit it right on the head there, Mary.
Really?
Exactly, right on the head. So Joel's going to be like, Jesus, okay, even I hate my own button at this point. Oh, I should have brought the easy button. Then we could have had like a war.
We could have
so
had
we could have like this ka-ching and the easy button war.
I think
that's
I had
easy.
It on my phone.
The easy button?
Yeah.
See, there you go. So the iFire we did. No, Joel doesn't mind this at all. Are you kidding? He loves this stuff. But,
because he's probably 14 right now.
He is 14. Okay, so I put up a Facebook post, and let me get your take on this. Now, Rich, I know you have an opinion. As a matter of fact, bring Joel in on this. Let's bring Joel in.
That's your own peril.
Yeah. Joel, exactly. At your own risk. Are you joining us today, my man?
Yeah, I'm here, and I take exception with the 14-year-old comment.
You know what? It's been proven time and time again.
No, you're wrong, because we turn into 13-year-olds. So let's just
okay.
get it straight.
Well, you know what, Joel? I used to say 12, but then I added
you gave us the benefit
years.
Of the doubt.
I did.
Yeah,
okay.
I grew up just a little bit. Thank you for that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so on Facebook, and I wanted to bring Joel in on this, because I know you have an opinion on pretty much everything, which is why I love you. But here's what I wrote, because I had an interesting discussion with a friend, and basically, I say that men are extremely simple creatures. I say, fuck us, feed us, allow us to be men, be nice. And if ladies, if you can bat 50%,
you're good. Yeah.
You win, right?
We're definitely going to get a call in.
I don't know. Is there anything else that needs to be on that list? And really, does it even take 2 out of 4?
Laugh at our jokes.
It doesn't take a lot to make us happy, but I don't think that we're simple. I think actually, you know, men who are willing to explore, you know, their hearts and their minds in a real authentic way, that, you know, you can discover that there's actually a lot of depth, or can be. Certainly there's a lot of shallow men and women, but,
yeah.
You know, I think society has done a lot to, especially in the media, you know, make the dope, the father on the sitcom is the big dope, you know, mm-hmm. he's always the foil, and the kids are smarter, and I think saying that we're simple, it's just that I don't think we're as high maintenance. I don't think our needs are as broad as they may be for women, but they're just as deep and significant. And that's as serious as I'm going to get today.
Okay, so wait a minute.
Yeah, good. You started to scare me there for a second.
The chick in the house has to respond.
Yeah, please do.
I heard a comedian on Laugh USA, and he said, okay, the difference between men and women, if a guy says, hey, Bob, your shirt's on fire, and Bob says, thanks, it's done. It's over. Well, the women, if something like that happened, they have to call one another 10 times the rest of the day. How did you feel about your shirt being on fire? Why do you think that happened? Who do you think lit you on fire? And men are done right after, like, dude, your shirt's on fire.
Exactly. I got third-degree burns. I'm calling it a day. So, so Joel, you're showing your softer, more sincere, more...
The softer side of Joel. Well, now I've got to follow up with that, because I once heard many years ago, back when I was married, and early in my marriage, went to a conference, and they said men's minds are like waffles, women's are like spaghetti.
Wow.
Right. We compartmentalize, put a little syrup in here, a little butter in there. We can totally separate and turn on and off the connections between the two, because we look at things in a different manner. And women, it's all mixed together. Your day, the kids, your work, how you're feeling, your marriage, the TV show you just watched, the fact that your football team won. I mean, it's all, like, mixed in.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it challenging for us men is we say we're more logical, but really what we are is we're just separating and compartmentalizing and saying, well, this shouldn't have an impact on that. But for women, it does, and it's just how you wired. It's not that there's anything wrong with that. You're just different.
Well,
nice.
I agree with you, and
yep.
also... Waffles are for breakfast, spaghetti's for dinner, and we just...
All right, and can we be honest here, though, for a second? Because women are not even like spaghetti, if we're going to be honest here, because spaghetti is like, I mean, those are like individual noodles. Women are more like mashed potatoes. They just throw all that shit together in a big smush. It's like, doesn't matter what the fuck happens during the day, you know, it's all just like one big smush. And that's my... there we
and
go.
And you're still married.
And by the way, you know, Joel, I have to say, you know, and we're going to come up on a break here, so every now and again, you're going to hear some music, and that's basically my way of telling you, Joe, we got to go to break. But here's what I know. You've got to be kind of upset right now, Joel. I mean, has this Ashley Madison thing hurt you as well? I mean, I know you were pretty active on that, and you had your profile. Are you how are you recovering with that?
Yeah, well, you know, I had 50 profiles, actually, and they found me out. No, never signed up for the site, never had a reason to, and I can't imagine that. Here's what I'm thinking. If you're going to sign up, who would use their real email? Why wouldn't you set up a secondary email, you know, with an anonymous name?
Not that you've ever thought about this either.
I think some of the guys did do a separate email, but all of their financial information, because they had to pay to be on the site, was released, and whoever found the names just zeroed back. They didn't care what the email address was. They're just like, hey, so-and-so with this credit card was on Ashley Madison.
Some weird charges ended up showing up. And, of course, what are you going to do at that point? You know, you can't exactly, you can't exactly report that, right? I mean, you're going to be like, so, honey, there's going to be some odd charges. Especially, like, can you imagine, like, if the woman controls the credit card account and she pays all the bills?
Well, then he's just an idiot. If he's going to actually use it, that credit really? Card.
Honey, what is this 123X every month we keep getting on here for $49?
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for somebody to develop some coder to develop a little plug-in that lets you import your whole address book so you can check it against the site to see who's in there.
Nice. Well, let's talk about that, and we are Periscoping right now, so join us on Periscope Live, and I'm sure, Joel, you've got some Facebook Live stuff going on as well. So we will be right back with Joel Comm here on Reinvention Radio.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio with Steve Ulcher, along with Mary Goulet and Richard Otey in the house, and Wade left us, and Kelly's not hanging with us today. She's off playing beach volleyball. So
She's with her daughter.
Yeah, I got to tell you, have you ever? Well, no, I got to turn this way. Richard, here we go. I like having a guy in the house because now we can actually turn into 12-year-olds. And Joel,
like
we can talk about this as well.
I do not like it.
Have you ever gone to see beach volleyball live? Of course you have. You're from San Diego.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
And wife is really good at it too.
Is she?
Yes.
Oh well, I
Now did it just twerk on what you were going to say?
Well,
there?
You know, I can tell you that I have no love at all for volleyball, but I have love for watching women play beach volleyball.
There you go.
But not because of the sport, because of the outfit.
Of course.
You know, whoever
you needed to actually say that.
I mean,
really?
So whoever decided,
you're so predictable.
Like women's tennis.
Obvious.
Yes, exactly.
Like women's tennis, right? Like whoever decided that skirt needed to be worn, and they were like, should we make them wear skirts? Should we make them wear pants? You know what? We'll just kind of make them sort of wear a skirt. It's like whoever decided to pick out these outfits for sport, I give them some credit. I think they did really well. Yeah, for the men, I think they did really well. And by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but my wife played in lingerie football.
Nice.
You
never know where
speechless.
We're going with it. Exactly.
No, and I want you people to pray for me hour and 45 minutes.
Exactly. And Jill, by the way, I totally get why you showed the softer sort of feminine. I understand the women's side of things. I get it, because you're single. You're trying to get some. I get it. It's a good thing, you know? So,
I'm trying to figure out what we're reinventing here.
Yeah, we're reinventing Joel Comm. That's the point of this. By the way, you know what Joel created that is like the best thing in the whole wide world? So you know how like on an Oreo cookie, you got the two cookies on the outside and then you got the stuff on the middle, right? So Joel created a product that is just the stuff. So you put your spoon in, you eat it, it's just the stuff. Which, and by the way, I fell like completely for that. But how did you, that was impressive, man. That was like an April Fool's kind of joke thing you did, right?
Yeah, it was totally an April Fool's joke. I remember seeing all the varieties of Oreos that are on the shelves, and I thought, why don't they just make the stuff? And then they had this idea, oh, I can get a can of marshmallow fluff and have my designer friend, Matt Clark, at TweetPages that designed my blog, see if he'll play along and come up with a really professional-looking label. Yeah. And then I took the jar to the store, shot a picture of it on the shelf, and put this video up of me coming home with the groceries, opening up, and it's just totally freaking out because they finally had just the stuff. Put it up online, and there was actually a couple people that went to their store and asked their grocer for it, and the grocer was like, we have no idea what you're talking about. and I got them, and it's a lot of fun. And it's been two April Fools. I still use that video when I speak occasionally, when I tell people that there is no stuff. There's this collective, and why? I actually tried writing the Nabisco and saying, look, you guys, you're so close. You're so close. You're already producing something that's killing us. So just, get it over with, put it in a jar, and let us spread it on everything.
Yeah, see? Exactly. And, from my perspective, if I'm Nabisco, I'm going to try it, because I think that people are, by the way, just speaking of, weird things, and if I'm Nabisco, I'm definitely going to do that.
Occasionally.
Yeah, have you, and Joe, I know you were part of this as well, but have you seen some of those new flavors that they have at Subway of the potato chips? Have you seen some of those?
I try not to pay attention too much because I know that whatever additives they're putting in there have just got to be the deadliest stuff on earth.
So my personal favorite is the new pastrami potato chip. Have you tried
it? Oh, come on.
Oh, it's stellar. You actually have a bag right now with you. And, yeah, you've had
you
it.
You need
had,
to cleanse your palate.
That's why I'm going. Technically, I need to cleanse everything, which is why I'm going in for a colonoscopy in a couple of weeks. So when you see me sitting funny, that'll be why. But yeah, I've done a couple of those, and that is people hate that stuff.
You've done a couple of them?
I've done a couple of them. Matter of fact, I asked my doctor, can we please do another one? Because people hate that stuff you drink, it clears you out. I love it.
Is this a creative segue into the iFart?
It's totally a
secret.
Oh, no,
segue.
You did it.
Man,
Rich, see, we're on
Richard,
the same page
and
here.
And I am Miss Gullible, and I fall right into, really?
Really? No, totally. That is actually true, though. And, by the way, I love anesthesia. As a matter of fact, I try to get hurt as often as possible
I will hurt you.
Well, thank you, because anesthesia is awesome. So, speaking of...
You should just come to Colorado, because we have all the legal anesthesia that you could want here.
Oh, yeah. No, I have my card. We're all good. We're all good. I have my card here in California. So speaking of colonoscopies, the iFart, exactly. So Rich is good. We're on the same level here. This is content.
That's all content.
All right. So tell everybody the story of the iFart, because it's a classic story.
Oh, my gosh.
Creating an app.
Again.
Right? I know. But no, it's... And I guess you probably still have it on your phone. You could demonstrate some of these for us. But it's a great story of sort of David and Goliath. Take us through the iFart story.
Well, it was the year was 2008, and Apple said we want people to create applications for our new device. And I had the first iPhone in 2007, and I immediately pulled my team into the conference room, and largely comprised of men, we came up with a number of ideas of apps, and one of our apps, iVote, was one of the first 1,000 apps in the App Store. So I was I was pioneering the apps. And after our first one, there was one idea that cracked us all up, and we knew that this would be really easy to produce, and we thought, let's do this fart machine. And we were getting ready to release the app. So we were going to submit it to Apple in September of 2008. And the day we were going to submit it, this story broke on CNET that another app, somebody thought of this before us, and they called it Pull My Finger. And Apple rejected it because they said they weren't letting these novelty apps in. And so there was, they made a little bit of a stink, pun intended.
I know.
There in the story on CNET. And I thought, what's the point? They're just going to reject it. We've done this for nothing. But a month later, I said, it's either, sit or get off the pot. And I decided to submit it. Or submit or get off the pot. So I sent it in, and we waited. And it was December, I think it was December 12th, that I got a notification that the app got approved to the App Store. and there was Pull My Finger was another one, and I did a little bit of clever marketing. The app raced to the top of the chart, knocked Pull My Finger off into obscurity, and we sat at number one for 23 days, got worldwide media coverage, and sold a lot of apps. Well, shortly after Pull My Finger fell off the chart, they sent us, their lawyer sent us a threatening letter from Florida telling us that we used some unfair marketing. They claimed that because we used the terminology Pull My Finger, we were infringing on them, and there was no trademark on the phrase Pull My Finger. And that's not why we succeeded anyway. But they said, you owe us $50,000 and we'll go away. And I said, oh, this is great. Went to my lawyer, and we filed for a declaratory judgment with a federal court in Colorado, and which basically is not suing them. It's just telling them, go away. Mm. But I put out a press release about it, and it went global. We got even more attention for the lawsuit of iPod versus Pull My Finger than we did for the app the first time around. Sales again went through the roof, and I got called from the Jon Stewart Daily Show, sent Wyatt Cenac out to both of our locations, did an interview with us, and I was in a clip on the Daily Show, and they skewered the other guy, not me. And that's why I like to say I farted and came out smelling like a rose.
Okay, so here's one of the other reasons you were successful is because this thing works for a 3-year-old all the way up to a 95-year-old guy.
That was my grandfather's favorite app, by the way.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So you just covered, it was genius.
And it got to the point where was so good, like, it was like, is it live or is it Memorex? Like, you didn't know with my grandfather whether it was the app or if it was him until, you know, so, and it was great because the only way you really knew was if, you know, something came through with the waft there.
Well, but here's the great postscript to the story, guys, is that that's been 5 years since I've updated the app, and I'm now working with another developer to bring it up to date because the free version still gets about 500 downloads a day.
That's your
and
way.
I had no idea until recently, and the name of the release that's coming is going to be called iFart Second Wind.
That's great.
That's so, one of the few apps out there that you really don't want user-generated content.
Hey, though. No. All right. So what I want to make sure that I'm a part of, though, is I need to be a part of the R&D team for that new development, because all I can picture is, like, you know, when you see, you know, like some of these sort of behind the scene footage of the writers when they're creating content for shows like The Simpsons and whatnot, they're all just sitting around a table, like, kicking out these ideas and just cracking up. That's what I want to be a part of, Joel. I want to be around that table with you when we're coming up with the different fart sounds, because that's what you're going to have to do.
And I do not want to be there.
And you do not want to be there.
It's often that I get asked, are the sounds real? And while I can neither confirm nor deny, what I can tell you is that the men's stall at our office space had a sign on it that said R&D. So there you go.
Oh, that's great, man. Yeah,
14.
14, exactly. So I personally cannot wait for the new version. As a matter of fact, I am going to, I think that I'm going to be one of the first users of it. So,
did you know we're coming up on a break? Thank you.
No, not thank you. We've got so much to cover with Joel. And
yes,
as a matter of fact,
we're done with this talk.
We're done with the R-Fart stuff. Oh, fine. So we're actually going to talk about, like, real social media, real expertise of the man that is the Joel Com. We will talk about that. I know, Mary, you're like, look at me. Can we do something like
Let's,
for
and you
real
know what?
On the show? I see
you. Say it too. She's like, get to the content. Get to some content.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, see? Now, yeah, let's have, like, battling ka-chings. I know. I love that. Actually, I like Joel's better. I think Joel has a better cha-ching.
Well, because it goes right into his...
He's got version the second win. So, I think that would explain it. And by the way, I'm gonna quiz you when we come back, Joel, because I'm curious if you know which apps people spend the most time on. So I'm just curious if you know which apps people spend the most time on. I've actually got the answers to that, as well as how much time is spent on the mobile devices. But we'll talk about that and a heck of a lot more with Joel Com here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You
were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
It's just good fun. It just makes you feel good. I love it. All right, so we're here with Joe Kamm. And before the break, we were talking about a little game we're going to play. So, Joe, question for you. If you had to choose between messaging and social, entertainment, or gaming, where do you think most people are spending their time with their apps and through the mobile devices?
I would have to guess that it's messaging and Facebook, social.
Interestingly enough, it was gaming in Q2 of 2014, and then in Q2 of 2015, messaging and social really took over. So talk to us a little bit about that shift. What are you seeing going on right now in the mobile world, in the social media world? What's hot? What are you liking? And just kind of take some of us through what we need to know for those of us who really are just kind of out of the loop.
Well, okay, so let me start with the why. I think the reason that messaging and social has taken over is because we get so disconnected by being behind our computers and on our devices. We crave, you know, that real human interaction, and we're finding it through Messenger and through texting and through the online communities. And you know, what Facebook continues to do is they grow down to 1.5 billion users. You know, there's 7 billion people in the world, and probably 3 billion of them have no connectivity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, think about those numbers. Those are astronomical.
Yeah, they are.
So I think there's the why we're seeing a takeover. Now, I thought you were going to ask me to choose between the three, and I was going to say I can't because I enjoy my streaming on Netflix and Amazon Prime. I love using social media and engaging with my tribe, and I'm also a gamer, you know, and if you tell me I can't play World of Warcraft or blow other people up in Team Fortress 2, I'm going to, you know, have a little bit of a fit.
Yeah.
So don't take away my games. But, you know, what's hot now, I'll tell you what I'm really hot on, Steve, is this new site called Blab.im.
Mm-hmm.
When Google Hangouts came out, They were claiming to take over the video conferencing realm. And if by taking over you mean create extremely buggy software that was incredibly difficult for many people to run, let alone learn how to use, that really ended up just being good maybe for some interviews and doing webinars, then yeah, they took over. But they kind of, like many things Google does, you know, apart from search, much of what they do ends up being a big failure because they really don't understand what it is that people want and need. And as Blab.im comes along with a video conferencing platform that I instantly got hooked on, instantly. I'm doing my show on it now. I'm doing regular evening shows. I'm doing interviews. And it's so simple to use that you enter a room, and if you want to grab a seat to be on camera and be part of the conversation, you click to join, and if the moderator lets you in, it just works.
Hmm.
You know, and assuming your bandwidth isn't strangled, you're online and you're conversing, and I have never seen anything that builds community so quickly as this platform does, and so I am bullish on Blab.im, and if anybody wants to follow me there, Blab.im/Joel Kamm, and you can see the shows I'm doing. I'm loving it, and I'm figuring out how to up the production values on my show because it can actually easily be turned into a podcast that then goes into iTunes.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of what I was talking about not terribly long ago about Periscope, because we reinvented Periscope a couple of weeks ago. And one of my biggest beefs about Periscope is that if people want to interact with you, they want to talk with you, they got to use their little thumbs and type that in, and you're the only one talking. So it's really a one-way conversation,
yeah.
And then you're just kind of answering comments or answering questions as they are typed in. It's not the most ideal way of interacting. I mean, it's kind of an interview kind of thing or whatever, or just watch me do whatever the fuck I'm doing, but it's not interactive. It's not really building that face-to-face, that community. So
Joel, I have a question. So do you think it's an either or, though, or in
no.
addition to?
No, it's a both and. I think that, we don't need one method of broadcasting and communicating. There's room in this world with as much creativity and various technology that we have to have many modes of communication. So, you know, apps like Periscope, Meerkat, and now, Facebook Live, those are all one to many. And to engage with people, you have to read their comments, or you have to be sitting right next to the person that is, you know, on your device with you. So I think those are good for celebrities. They're good for sharing a message. They're good for sharing an experience. You know, when you're at a concert or somewhere, you want to show people what's going on in your world. Streaming live is great for that. But Blab is a completely different beast. It's not one-to-many anymore. Now it's many-to-many, and it's a conversation. And somebody said it was like this. They said that Periscope and Meerkat are like a concert, and Blab is like a town hall.
That's cool.
It's apples to oranges.
Yeah. And so in terms of getting people to your various accounts, that's kind of the holy grail here that I think most people struggle with is, you know, they figure they're going to put up a Facebook page, they figure they're going to have a Twitter account, they figure they're going to have a this, that, and the other, and if you build it, they will come. But we all know it just doesn't work that way. What do you find to be some of the most effective ways to get people sort of from that offline world to the online social world or whatever it is that you're trying to get them to online?
Well, it's content. And honestly, I'm not trying to get people in the offline world online. There's enough audience online. I'm trying to get people in the online world to come into my tribe, and it's my realm. You know, I'm not going to put flyers on door and say, what, you don't have an internet connection yet? Well, go sign up with Comcast, have them put a pipe in, then get a computer, and then when you get the computer, learn how to use it. No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, you're here, I'm here, come on over to my house. Here's my address. And so what I do for that is, first, I focus on content. It's always got to be content. If you've got nothing to say, then why should anybody come and listen to you? Even Seinfeld, the show that was about nothing, said something, right? And it was entertaining, and it was funny. So whether you want to teach people, inspire people, entertain people, have something to say. And then you have to work it. You know, you have to, if you're going to have guests, you have to invite people to be your guests. You have to be prepared with questions. You have to be entertaining and engaging. Because like we see on Periscope, which I call the drive-by Walmart of video streaming, you know, people pop in and they don't know who you are. And most, in some of them, you know, the idiots come out. Who are you? And then they start cursing because they don't understand where they are because they got lost. They start cursing. And, you know, I just have no patience for that. I want to build a tribe of people that either like, know, and trust me already or are curious to find out, what am I all about? What do I have to say? Do I bring value to their life in some sense? And do they want to be part of this tribe that I'm creating?
Yeah. Yeah. And so for those then that are, in fact, struggling, how often do you, in struggling in terms of getting followers or views or whatever you want to, you know, whatever your method of calculation is there, what do you do? Thanks, Mary. what do you do in terms of content? I mean, do you post something once a day? Is it once a week? What do you recommend people do? And what does, you know, I guess for lack of a better term here, what does sufficient content look like?
Well, let me reverse engineer that answer backwards. Sufficient content is content that people want to hear. You'll know if your content is sufficient based on if people are reading, if on social media, if they're liking, commenting, sharing, retweeting, favoriting. you'll know if you've got content that's worth other people's retelling it for you. If they're doing a live stream and they're coming in, spending 30 seconds and dropping out, well, you obviously aren't providing content. So the feedback that you get from your community is going to tell you if your content is valuable to them. It could be that you're not targeting the right community. Maybe you don't have the right title for your stream to let people know what's really going on. But I think that the faster way to create your community is by jumping into other people's communities and adding value. You know, if you're coming on the blab.im and you want to have your own show, but people don't know who you are yet, show up for somebody else's show. Mm-hmm. Make a comment that gets you onto their show so that you're on screen and now you're sharing something. And guess what happens? If you bring value, people are like, this gal's interesting. I think I'll follow her here. I think I'll follow her on Twitter. And maybe then when you do a show, people will show up for it. So you go where the platforms are is a Kickstarter for your own platform.
Hey, Joel, this is Richard. One thing, I'm actually in your inner circle, by the way.
Hi, Richard. Hi. I know you are, by the way.
So a social experiment right here. I think I'm proving concept. I'm periscoping this, but all I had was hashtag Reinvention Radio, which I think is a cool show, and it is number one in four categories, at least it was in one time in iTunes, and you should subscribe if you're not already.
Oh my lord.
But
because
I created my stream and it said at Joel Com, at Mary Goulet, at Steve Ulcher, and it's not necessarily something that my audience is like typing in to find us, if you retweeted, what would you think the social reach of something right now with only, I think, Mary and Steve on my Periscope?
Right.
No, because it's also the worst time, by the way, Pacific Standard, 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock,
horrible.
Right in lunch hour. Yeah, but
if you retweeted it, how many people do you think you could get on? Social experiment.
Not many, because my Twitter tribe is not as active as my Facebook tribe, and there's a reason for that. That's because about 3 years ago, I really made a big shift to Facebook, which is really ironic because I wrote the book on Twitter, even the most recent one. And the book is accurate and worthwhile, but personally, I find more engagement for myself and my tribe on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So even though I've got 80-some thousand followers, I don't really work hard to engage there, and there's my mea culpa.
Yeah, right. All right, so let's do this. After the break, I want to talk about monetization, because I know that there are ways to actually monetize social media, and we'll be doing a little more cha-chinging with Joel Com right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio, talking with Joel Com and Mary Goulet and Richard O'Day in the house as well. What's up, Joel? All right, so Joel, before the break, I was wanting to dig a little bit into monetization, because people spend a lot of time on social media and very few people are able to get any sort of return on that investment. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I get it. You do the Snapchats and you send people, pictures of your butts, and that's just kind of fun kind of thing. Hopefully, but not plural, but singular. And that's kind of fun. But for the other folks who are doing this, like through business-related sort of activities, and the hope is to drive folks to their business and sell something, what should they be doing that they're probably not doing right now?
Well, a lot of people start with that question. how do I make money doing this online? And they try to find the shortcuts, and really, there are very few shortcuts that are any more effective than winning the lottery. They really need to be focusing on the content. Building your fan base is the most essential part, whether, you know, you have a brick and mortar business or whether you have an online business. Having people that know, like, and trust you, and that will follow you, that will engage with you, and that like you so much that they tell their friends about you. That is the key to then monetizing. You know, once you've got a, what is it, 1,000 raving fans, I believe the saying goes, then that means your reach goes way beyond those 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. Because people who are happy with what you're producing will tell all of their friends about you. They'll also tell them if they're not happy with you. So right. You want to make sure they are happy. And that, once you're there, then monetization is just discovering, well, what do people want from me? Do they want swag? Or is it a T-shirt they want to wear that, you know, shows that they're a fan of my brand or my product or service? You know, is there a product that I create that they want to purchase? Do they want to subscribe to my member site? Do they want to buy coaching from me? Do they want a live event? It's just a matter of asking your tribe what it is that they want, or if you have an idea and come up with something, they are your best focus group.
And what does that segue look like, though? I mean, how do you do that without looking like, you know, just you're selling them, right? Because on one hand, you're talking about you want to produce great content, which, of course, you do. But if someone's coming to you for the great content and then all of a sudden you say to them, you know, hey, buy my stuff, then they might get turned off. So how can you do that sort of in a way that won't, you know, make people feel like they've been kind of jilted?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of going to them and say, buy my stuff, ever. I think that's always the wrong approach. It's going in and say, hey, you know, I've had this idea of coming up with these T-shirts. I really like this thing, and I thought about putting in a T-shirt. If I were to do that, would you want one? And people aren't going to be like, you're trying to sell us something. No, if they like, know, and trust you, they're going to be, I'll take one, I'll take three. I'll buy gifts for, you know, my family for the holidays. It's not complicated. It's just a matter of keeping it real.
Yeah.
I think people are offended when you try to get all slick and slip a pitch in through the back door so that, you know, it's like people, oh, I'm going to trick them into buying something. People aren't stupid, except for those who are. But for the most part, people aren't stupid, and they're going to pick up on it.
So, all right, let me ask you this then, because there's people who are in very crowded markets, right? I mean, you've got, you name it. I mean, there's somebody out there doing what you do, and oftentimes thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of people doing the same thing you do. How do you create content that is different from what people who are doing the same thing that you're doing? I mean, how can you do that? How can someone separate themselves from the pack when they're in a very crowded field?
So I think there's a flaw in the premise there, Steve, and that is you're saying everybody's other people are doing what you're doing. If you're doing what other people are doing, then you're not doing what you should be doing. It's the thing that you do best that makes you different from everybody else. That's the thing you should be doing. You know, there's the South Beach diet, big fad, big, you know, diet that worked for whoever came up with it, Mr. and Mrs. South Beach, I guess. And a bunch of people bought it and some swear by it and it didn't work for some others. Well, wouldn't it be foolish for me to come out and say, I've invented the South Beach diet? Forget the whole trademark infringement. Just to come up and say, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people are going to go, wait a second. That was a thing 12 years ago. That's the same thing. If I'm going to come up with the North Shore diet, right, I'm going to come up with something different that is the distinguishing characteristic. Now, it's still a diet. It's still a plan to get fit or lose weight and get healthier. So it's in that category and in that same realm, but it brings my new twist to it. And so that thing that you do, and by you, I'm talking to everybody who's listening and those who aren't listening, whatever it is that you do, that one thing that scares you the most because nobody else is doing it, that's your thing.
Yeah.
Well, also, I think it's not a mental process. I think it's an inspired process. And the message is already out there. It's the messenger that makes it unique for some people.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our tribe.
Yep. And so, Jill, you just came out with, well, not terribly long ago, but you've got a couple of different series. Obviously, you've got Twitter Power, and you just released Twitter Power 3.0, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, and when did that one come out?
I'd only say March.
Okay, and I know you've got the So What Do You Do series, which is quite awesome, and I think you actually introduced that at Internet Profits Live, didn't you?
I did. Internet Profits Live and Ray Edwards event was where, for the first time, we were able to share that with people, and I thank you for the opportunity to introduce people to that, because a lot of your friends aren't in that book.
Yeah, they are. Yep, and I'm still waiting on my check, but I know it's coming. I know it's coming. You can pay me. You're in Colorado. I'm in California. Just pay me in buds. I'll be okay with that. But so what else is on the JoelCom radar right now? And obviously, you've got the Twitter Power stuff. You've got the So What Do You Do? But you're a little more complex than that, Mr. Com. So what else you got on the radar right now?
Well, and we've got the iFart app that we're working on an update. Very vested in the JoelCom show on blab.im, and bringing on guests and also doing an entertainment style show, because I really enjoy broadcasting. I know you never would guess that. And I'm not quite ready to announce the next book yet. I think it's in 2016. I think it's going to have a much broader appeal than just another business book of mine.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of giving it space to breathe and take form on its own. I'm not in a hurry to do it. I've done five books in the last two years. So I'm ready to, slow down there a little bit. And I'm playing in a lot of different sandboxes.
Let me ask you this, because I heard a rumor, and I'm not sure if you can confirm or deny if the rumor is true, but I heard a little rumor that there might be a new edition of the next Internet Millionaire. Any truth to that?
There is no current truth to that, but not my crystal ball is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And, if at some point a production studio says, this is a great idea, we want to bring it back and update it, I would be full on, because I'm a big fan of creating content with video.
And in the original show, did any of those people who were on the original show, did they go on to do anything that you can sort of, things that we might know?
Charles Trippy, who came in as runner-up on the show, was already creating a pretty loyal YouTube fan base. When he was on the show, he was already getting tens of thousands of views. So I can't take any credit at all for his success. But, he is in the Guinness Book for having the most consecutive days of videos created on YouTube. And as long as he keeps producing a video every day,
wow,
he will never, lose that slot. And he also, he plays with a pop band called We the Kings, and he gets to tour around the country and do some fun stuff.
Fun. All right. So JoelCom.com is probably the best place for people to get more information about you. Is that still the place you want to send them?
That would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. So JoelCom.com. So JoelCom.com. Joel, been an absolute privilege to have you here on Reinvention Radio. So for Mary Goulet, myself, and Richard Ote, we will talk to you on the next episode of Reinvention Radio. Take care.
See you, Joel.
See ya.
Bye.
You just got dismantled.
Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olshan, visit reinventionradio.com.